Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for September the 13th. We'd like to excuse Vice Mayor Luna and Councilmember Thompson, who are out of town today. The first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for our September 17th council meeting. So, council, please refer to that agenda, and let's see if we have any questions. Currently, there is nothing off of the consent agenda. First several items are liquor license applications and purchase contracts, followed by the introduction of some zoning ordinances. Oh, I'm sorry, do we have anyone on the phone? We weren't expecting Mr. Luna or Mr. Thompson, but might you be there? Okay.
You're correct.
I do have a question for 4C.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Freeman, 4C.
Thank you, Mayor. Made some notes. You know, we're considering purchasing these medical response vehicles. I don't know if the fire department's here yet, but regardless, this is kind of a new model we're providing, and I believe that the one of the things I learned in my career in the fire service that we are very adaptable. But these medical response units are going to be able to run our lower emergency calls. And I think that the placement of those are through the analytics that we're going to be using here, whether it's on the west side or the east side. So I think that's good planning for our city and to deliver service to our residents. I don't know if you have any more comment. One of the things I found is it's one of the kind of the industry. So I don't know quite. One of the sentences said that in the narrative, and I didn't know what that meant except that they're delivering service that way. Is there any thoughts on that?
No, thank you, Mayor. Councilman Freeman, you're correct. This is continuation of our follow-up for as the fire department looks for new models to address the increasing demands on the calls for service. And we've presented to the council, I think, during the budget discussion,
right,
the analytics that we're doing. And as you saw, the greatest growth and pressure is coming from those low acuity calls. And this is in direct response to that, as you said, is finding the piece of equipment that will allow us to respond with a crew of four to those kinds of calls, which allows for us to keep the larger fire apparatus in the station longer to respond, hopefully, to the calls that they are specifically built for. I think this is new, but we are seeing, I think Phoenix is also trying this model. I think throughout the country, we're not unique in our experience with seeing these low acuity medical calls that are consuming a lot of time. So I think across the country, different agencies are also experiencing this and looking for different ways. I think we're kind of on the edge of this, but we were able to find some equipment that we think will suit our needs for these kinds of responses. And they'll be, obviously, as you mentioned, Councilman Freeman, they are deployable throughout the city, and it'll give us that flexibility to address both the seasonality, the peak period times, that we can move these units around to based upon the statistics of where we know those calls will be during certain times of the year, or especially times of the year, seasonality, whether it's flu season or whatever, so we can match that up.
Thank you, and I think it's important for our residents to know in the community that there's going to be different types of apparatus, you know, serving the community, and different modes that we're looking at to be progressive in how to deliver service, especially in areas where we have high call volumes and to take the load off our fire apparatus. So I appreciate staff looking at that and implementing these different types of vehicles to deliver the service. So thank you.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic. I see we've got two of these vehicles for about $400,000. The next agenda item is four regular Tahoes for police cruisers for about $150,000. So you can tell these are still very specialized pieces of equipment that are going to have a lot of impact when they arrive at a scene. But still, this is probably less than half of what you'd expect if you were doing a tanker truck or a ladder truck or something like that. So, yeah. I think two. Yeah. Right.
Even more dramatic.
Saving money.
So instead of sending a $750,000 piece of apparatus engine to a medical call, yeah. we can send about a $200,000+ apparatus with four persons on it to respond to a medical call. And we're trying to match up the resources with the demand. So we think this makes a lot of sense. And council allocated dollars in this year's budget to allow us to kind of, I guess we call it a pilot program, but to continue to expand and look into these areas. And I think we'll see how it works. And if it's successful, then we'll probably be coming back and talking about doing this more often.
For those of us who try to stay current on what we call these vehicles, because
it's
evolved.
We're going to change it every time, right?
Okay.
we're trying to be, I think what's happening now is there are other agencies in the valley, and we're trying to all use kind of a similar language so that also helps us with the automatic aid agreements. So we are going to this medical response units because that will be a familiar language, and the staffing of that will be similar in other larger agencies like Phoenix. So that'll help us when we're communicating and looking for different agreements to provide backup assistance to each other.
Right.
I might just add, that's critical, because when you're responding to different agency calls, language is important, especially on the same units. We had transitional response units, or TRVs, for years, and then squads, TRVs, we've progressed maybe to the medical response
right.
units. So maybe there'd be MRUs, whatever. So some type of metric.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to stay current.
Keep up there.
We'll go with MRs for now. Okay, Council, any other questions regarding anything on the agenda for Monday's meeting? Okay, hearing none, the next item on the agenda for this meeting is item 2, which is to hear a presentation and discuss an update on the development of the master planning process of the city-owned property at the southwest corner of Mesa and University Drive. Jeff and Lindsay, welcome. We've been looking forward to this presentation.
Morning, Mayor, Council. Jeff McVeigh with the City Manager's Office, and with me today is Lindsay Belinke, who you know from our Neighborhood Outreach Office. But there'll be more on that in a few minutes. Today, we want to give you a quick update on where we stand on the master planning for the southwest corner of Mason and University Drive. This 25 acres of vacant land that the city owns and is ready to have something happen with it. Just to give you a little bit of a background on where we were, where we've been, and where we're going. This process started a couple years ago, back in April 2016, when we first came to council to talk about options of what could happen with for development of this property. At that time, council directed us to go out to the community and find out what they'd like to see happen, get some ideas about their vision and for the property. We conducted some pretty significant public outreach in the summer of 2016 that included online surveys and two public meetings, well-attended public meetings. In total, we got close to 2,000 responses from the public. When we came back and presented that the feedback that we received from the public, council directed us to come back with some ideas on how we could work on master planning for the site, as well as some options for how the site could be developed in the future. We did that, came back and presented some options for the master planning of the site, as well as some options for future development, and council directed us to work on and release an RFP for a design consultant to develop three master plans for the site. That was in April 2017. Now, April 2018, we released that RFP. We have selected as a staff selection committee, we have selected a design consultant. That consultant is Crandall Arambula. They're a well-respected design firm out of Portland, Oregon. They actually locally have worked with downtown Gilbert in doing their heritage district master planning. And as a reminder, what they will be doing for us is the development of three master plans that have varying intensities. So what we've asked for them to do is a medium intensity, a medium high. Medium high intensity and a high intensity master plan, so we can get a flavor of all the different development options that are there, as well as doing so in a very public format. So there'll be quite a bit of opportunity for the public to engage in this and continue to have their feedback heard and incorporated to the extent possible into the master planning. A key component of this master plan is the subconsultant that we'll be doing a market feasibility analysis for each of these master plans so that we know that we aren't going to be developing a vision for the site that can't be implementable, that the developer isn't going to want to work with us on. For that, they have a subconsultant, HRNA, out of New York. They previously have done work for the city as part of the city center master planning. So that is a very key important part with us. So they will actually engage with not only just market feasibility, but they'll be looking at future market feasibility, knowing where the city is going, where downtown is going, as well as working with our development community to make sure that we have a product that can be taken out to developers in the future. This is a big project. It's gonna take a lot of effort. And luckily enough, Lindsay was looking to gain some more experiences in other areas of the city, and she's going to be working on a special assignment to handle the day-to-day project management of the master planning and getting it through so that in about 6 months' time or so, we'll be able to come back to you and start presenting what has come from it. So at this point, I'm going to give Lindsay a chance to run you through what we expect to have happen in the next 6 months.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. So they have, Crandall Arambula has provided us with a thorough plan for their community engagement, and we just wanted to show you that this morning. In month one, they'll start kicking off the project, and they will do a site visit and just get familiar with existing conditions, and that will begin their market analysis and project preparation. In month two, they'll be here for a two-day public design community engagement event. So that is multifaceted. That will include an opportunity for one-on-one meetings with all of you to give input and see what their process is like and what they're doing. They will also have a community stakeholder group. And so we will be providing input on that, on who should be invited to those types of meetings, the surrounding neighborhoods, neighborhood leaders, the business community, community groups, anyone within the community that we'd like to engage in, we think would be interested in this project. That would also be an opportunity for you to give input if you have groups or individuals that you'd like to be included in that. They'll also be meeting with our staff, all the department representatives, to really understand all of our processes and rules and regulations around the development. And that would include boards as well. They'll be meeting with the Planning and Zoning Board, Historic Preservation, and Design Review. And then they'll have a broader public meeting where the general public would be invited, and they will do a thorough engagement with them, really talking about what people would like to see on that property and walking them through what that would look like. So it's very hands-on. There's some workshopping involved in that, and they get to really see the concepts that they're talking about to see if that matches up with what's in their mind as well. So it's a very visual process. Then they will take all that input back. We also will have an online engagement tool throughout the process. So for folks that cannot be present at meetings, they can still give input, and we'll have updates on the project throughout so you can see what phase we're in and what's happening there. They will go back in month three, do concept development based on all the input they receive in that first session. And then they will come back in month four and do a second two-day public engagement, similar to before with all the groups that I mentioned. They will also come to present to you on their concept design thus far. And that will include the market feasibility as well. So they take all of that input again back to kind of work through and do revisions of concepts. And in month six, they have the three refined master plans. They present that back to you. The public will be invited to participate in that as well and come see their concepts.
So once we have three master plans, three conceptual master plans, the idea is to come back to council and discuss the options and get council's preferred alternative to move forward with and go out to the development community. So that would be the time when we are going to determine which route we want to go, whether it's to solicit for a master developer of all 25 acres at once, or whether it is to prepare a capital improvement program to do some of the master infrastructure work and master developer functions as a city ourselves, and then parcel it out to several individual developers over time. Either way, we'll be negotiating development agreements with a developer or multiple developers, and we'll be negotiating the sale and purchase of the property with the final developers, or developer, I should say. And with that, we're happy to have any questions and discussion.
Thank you. Mr. Whitaker.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Quick question. I remember on the Imagine Mesa website that somebody had proposed like a regional draw to that location. I believe it was like a lake or a lagoon or something like that. Can you guys comment as far as when they start to create this master plan, do they look at items like that where they're looking more specifically at regional draw projects, or will they consider just residential housing? Like, how do they determine what type of project, or is that all part of the process that unfolds in the next 6 months?
Sure. Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, I would say it's a combination of both of those things. The consultants have had access to all the outreach that we've done up to this point and the results of all that outreach. So they are well aware of the ideas that have come from Imagine Mesa, as well as the ideas that came out of our outreach in 2016. The idea is for them to come into this project without any preconceived notions, though. No pencils to paper until they've had time to talk with all the stakeholders and all the community to determine what is best for that site. However, given that, having said that, one of the things that went into our RFP for this developer, this consultant, was six guiding principles that the council had essentially directed us to include, and that was the idea that this project will include a primarily residential focus to the development, that it'll include some commercial and retail. However, that commercial and retail will be more neighborhood serving in nature, so that it does not draw away from the downtown, but rather it creates a supporting development for our historic downtown core. But it also gives the opportunity for looking at some opportunity for more commercial, more of an income generating, commercial office. I'm not sure about a regional draw as a 7-acre pond, but things along that line will all be taken into consideration. The folks that put that idea onto Imagine Mesa are engaged community members, and I know we'll participate in this process and we'll have their voice heard. The key component to that, though, is the market feasibility analysis and making sure that that is something that, if that is the direction that the concepts take us, that it is something that can be built and would be successful if it was.
Great. You mentioned six guiding principles that were provided to them.
Yeah.
I don't recall that. Is there a list of that somewhere?
Sure. I can provide you with one of our previous presentations that has it listed out, but I can summarize them. I think I can remember them all quickly. First was the primarily residential focus, residential neighborhood focus. Second was that any commercial activity was more of a neighborhood serving. Third was a connected public open space and transportation network. Fourth was a mix of housing types, or a mix of architectural and housing types. Fifth and sixth, I'm going to forget, but I will get those to you.
Fair enough. Thanks, Jim.
Council, Mr. Freeman.
I'm excited about this project.
You've been waiting for a while for it.
Yeah, this is really fun. I don't think there's a week or a day goes by where somebody in the community asks me, what are we going to do with Site 17? And I have to explain, it's coming. Jeff is on it. So, well, Jeff's too busy. I'm glad Lindsay's here to help support Jeff. So thank you, Lindsay, for coming over. Some thoughts I've had is, when is the timeline going to start with the consultant? I have 6 months there, but it didn't really stay when a start date was.
Mayor, Councilmember Freeman, it could start as soon as later this month or as late as October 1st, I believe, is the way the contract is being
So within right the now. Next 30 days or yes. Something like that? Okay, great. Some of my other thoughts are just out there is the integration of renewable energies into these projects and working with the developers, the developmental agreements and things like that. I think, our utility companies, we do just an AA plus job for our utilities, whether it's our electric company, solid waste, et cetera. And I like to see projects like this integrate renewables in there, and then part of our portfolio, either we provide electricity through renewables that we purchase or part of their projects. But I think that's an important component that we can assist with. Recently, the mayor and I had a visit at ADEQ, and after which we went and visited with a business organization right near downtown Phoenix, and those businesses were located in old historic homes in downtown Phoenix, yet the high-rise component was just right next door, so they could walk or whatever to do their business. So, you know, I like some of the concepts we have on the survey, but things are progressing to where maybe we need to look a little bit more outside the box and have, you know, I like to see more robust Class A office space, more business opportunities for businesses to come to downtown Mesa like they've done in other parts of the community. But that's for future discussion, and hopefully the master plan group gets that. So we can expose our assets, we can make it better for the community. The downtown area is supporting both sides of the fence, so to speak. I just like it. Thank you for moving forward with it.
I think we've all been looking forward to continued step-by-step process progress on this, and I appreciate those who continue to press for some sort of a recreational amenity here. I know that they're coming at this from a real affection for downtown and a desire to see something wonderful in downtown, and I share that goal. I think we have kind of talked through that idea earlier, and the concept of the lagoon, as I've learned more about it, it's a proprietary piece of technology. There's copyrights and trademarks, and when you do that, you're entering into a forever business agreement with a pool maintenance company and someone who comes in and owns half of your project. And so, I mean, it absolutely needs to be thoroughly discussed. But my conclusion at the end of that discussion is that it might not be what we need most in our downtown. I think there's a lot of us who at some point aspire to move back to downtown, and we need a place to live. And we want to have a 24/7 downtown that has people in it and that has grocery stores and has children going to school and has a lot of the things that the real neighborhoods strive to have. So I continue to lean towards primarily a residential development in this area. But again, I think we're all continuing to have our eyes open and entertain. I really look forward to getting some talented people to come in and give us some proposals and some thoughts on how this ought to continue to develop. I think there's still lots of room downtown. And if we can do things at this at Site 17 that are very complementary to what's happening on Main Street, but it's not the same as what's happening on Main Street. I don't think we want to have them competing against one another. And I don't think I know we'll be careful so that doesn't happen. So, I think we're all looking forward to the next 6 months and seeing what comes back. It'll be also exciting to get the word out on the street in the development community that we're ready to pull the trigger on this. There's a lot of people that have already started lobbying, saying we want to be, you know, we brought our checkbooks, we want to be involved in this project. So it's going to be very exciting to see this unfold. So thank you for your effort, Lindsay. We're excited that you're here to whip Jeff and get him, you know, moving a little bit faster on this. He's the busiest man in Mesa City government, so it's nice to see him getting some help on this. Yes, Frankie.
Jeff, you mentioned low, mid, and high intensity. Is that based on – what is that based as far as that information? Is that based on density or just different services or
– Sure. Mayor, Councilmember Heredia, density is definitely part of it, but generally I try to think of it more of an intensity description versus density. People, when they hear density, they automatically just assume – something beyond what it really is. So when you talk intensity, then you're talking about more of a visual representation of how it could develop out. But what we have asked them to develop is a medium intensity, medium high intensity, and high intensity. So if you think of it from a medium intensity, I guess from a density perspective, you're looking at a mixture of maybe some detached residential project, but mostly it would be attached product as well as condos and apartments. Medium high, you probably have no detached. You're only looking at attached product plus more multi-story apartments, condos, things along that line. And then when you get to high intensity, then you're looking at multi-story. Maybe that's where you're getting more intense office development included in as well. So it's more about what type and the intensity of that development.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. Whitaker.
Got one other question, Jeff. So I know that one of the issues that I recall Tempe dealing with a few years ago is after they built the light rail was getting pedestrian traffic to and from the light rail for projects that are located a little further away from the actual light rail. So if you do go with a high density type of project, how do you foresee that playing as far as the transportation goes? Do you see that being an issue? Do you think through things that we may potentially need to do in the future in order to support that? So if we did build something that was a high density project, that transportation would exist?
Sure. Councilmember Whitaker, I'm glad you had a follow-up question because while we were talking, I remembered the other two guiding principles as well. One of them was that making a positive transition, a quality transition between the historic neighborhood to the south of the Wilbur historic neighborhood into Site 17 so that there isn't a real strong disjointing between those two developments. And the other is to have a nice strong transportation connection and infrastructure connections for people to get them to downtown, as well as just the transportation network in general. Getting to your question, the consultant has a subconsultant just for transportation planning side of this. Not only the vehicular transportation, but bicycle transportation and pedestrian transportation. So we, knowing that this is, the far end of this property is almost a half a mile away from the closest light rail stop. So with that in mind, how we're connecting, how we're drawing people to Main Street to get them to light rail, as well as how we're drawing them into downtown, is a very important consideration. So that is part of the planning. And so the boundaries of the master planning concepts will be the 25 acres of this property, but the overall context planning will include Mesa Drive, Hibbert, all the streets that feed towards Main Street to make sure that we can create that nice connection. And whether it's making sure that we have grid bike stations that are incorporated, or whether we have some type of pedestrian corridors that are very well landscaped so that it's a comfortable path down to Main Street. All those things will be taken into consideration.
Great. Thanks, Chef.
Thank you. Additional questions, Council? All right. This is not an action item, right? We're just, or is it? We've already, okay. Thank you very much.
I got them both.
Anything else from you folks? Okay. Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda then is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Council, anything you'd like to share?
Mayor, I would. We attended the Mesa United Way luncheon yesterday, and that was a good thing. You spoke and talked about our all the things that we do to contribute to Mesa United Way, and I appreciate you being there and appreciate the invite.
Thank you. Yeah, we are, said yesterday, we are very lucky to have a United Way. Most cities don't have their own United Way, and so it allows us to be very responsive and have an organization that scrutinizes the needs of our community. So it's a good reminder to everyone. If you own a business, please have a United Way campaign with your employees at the business, and if you are philanthropically minded, please contribute to the Mesa United Way. It's a great organization. Other announcements from the council? If not, Mr. Brady, what's our schedule look like?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we'll have a study session and council meeting on Monday, September 17th. And then also a reminder that Mesa Arts Center season kickoff is tomorrow, Friday, September 14th from 6 to 11. It's a free event, so we invite everybody to come down as we kick off the new season.
Thank you very much. If there's nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn this meeting? Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We're adjourned.